The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn in the studio today, joined by Lord John Budden to look ahead to Tuesday's racing. Also going to cover the Monday jury and look back at the best of the weekend's action. So an entertaining half hour or so ahead of us. And as I mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn, joined by John Budden. Morning, John.
Good morning to you, Alex.
How are you?
I'm very good shape. Quiet racing at the moment because of the weather, but very good racing over the weekend.
Yes, definitely. We enjoyed I was really looking forward to Saturday. The ground dampened my enthusiasm a little bit in the end. I backed three horses and all three pulled up. But no, it was good action, wasn't it, predominantly?
It was good action, yes, overall. Some very good action both sides of the Irish Sea. But I do sympathise with you about the heavy ground. I'm fed up with watching jumpers slogging through knee-deep mud. And let's hope the forecast is accurate. And we do have a quiet, weather-wise week, which may dry the ground out a bit.
Yeah, hopefully. We're going to look at two races later on from Wetherby. We're also going to look at one on the fibre sand at Southall, but we'll get to those in a minute. We're going to start things, as ever, on a Monday with the Monday jury from the Racing Post, but don't tell them that we're using it because I don't think they know. We'll start the first question in this Monday jury. What sort of chance would Captain Chris have in the Gold Cup, John?
Well, it's interesting. I think he would have a place possibility. But Captain Chris was a tremendous winner at Ascot over the weekend and a deserved winner there. And he routed his rivals, including the very useful Cloudy Two. He's a horse who definitely is better going right-handed, as it was at Ascot. And, you know, he's run tremendously well right-handed at Kempton, for example, in the King George. But he has won an Arkle. And he has also run creditably in other big races at Cheltenham. And I think Philip Hobbs is faced with a quandary here, Alex. If he doesn't go to Cheltenham, the next festival is Aintree, which is the same way round. And the only favourable two coming up at the end of the season would be Sandown and Punchestown. And the Sandown race often goes to a firm ground specialist, a fresh horse in the spring. So basically it is Punchestown. And it's an awful long time, really, between now and the Punchestown Festival. So I think, yes, he will definitely have to go to Cheltenham for the Gold Cup. He could run creditably in it, but I really can't see him beating Bobsworth, Silviano. I can never pronounce that horse's name.
Silviniaco Conte.
Silviniaco Conte. And, of course, last instalment. Mm-hmm. But he's a really sort of seriously proven performer, and he could quite easily creep into the frame. I think he'll probably go there.
Okay. I personally couldn't be having him just left-handed, you know.
I agree with you, Alex. I certainly wouldn't have him myself.
No, but, I agree that in terms of race planning, that's where he's going to have to go, isn't it, in terms of a plan for the season.
I think so. I think he will have to go there. And Philip Hobbs actually was on the jury, and he more or less indicated that would have to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, did win the Arkle there and was fourth in the Ryanair. So
yeah,
no forlorn hope, certainly. But Maybe not, but yeah. So an each way chance is the answer to that first question from Lord Budden. Next question. Is Melodic Rendezvous the each-way steal in the champion hurdle at 25-1?
Well, if he stays at 25-1, yes, is the answer to me. I've been following this horse for a long while, and I've been trying to persuade people in the studio here at William Hill Radio that Melodic Rendezvous is, in fact, worthy of taking his part in the champion hurdle, and were the ground to come up relatively soft, even heavy, then he would have a very decent chance of getting into the frame. And on that point, I would just mention that Jeremy Scott, the trainer, has always indicated that he thinks that Melodic Rendezvous will go just as well, if not better, on a sounder surface. But I've always reckoned this horse, you know, Alex, ever since I saw him run at Cheltenham now well over a year ago in a race that I wanted Greystoke's Edouard to win. And they made Edouard 9-2 favourite, ridden by David Russell. He came to the last flight with every chance, but couldn't quicken up the hill. Who did quicken? Answer, a horse called Melodic Rendezvous, who I hadn't even sort of spotted beforehand. But oddly enough, Mr. Versatility, Hannity, had said before the race that he had heard that the horse called Melodic Rendezvous was actually rather better than the previous form would indicate. And Melodic Rendezvous shot up the hill to win that race at Cheltenham really well. Went on to score extremely handsomely at Sandown in a very competitive heat. And I've always reckoned him. I thought he'd go well at last year's festival, but something went wrong, didn't it?
Mm.
Just before the off.
Yes. So, yeah.
So he didn't go.
No.
But he ran well, very well at Haydock two outings ago, showing a great deal of change of gear. Forget the fighting fifth earlier because he had a muscle problem there and wasn't a sound horse. But I thought he was extremely good in the Kingwell hurdle. Yes, 25-1. He's got to be a sound each-way chance for the champion hurdle.
Yeah, I think I'd say an each-way squeak rather than an each-way steal, in the words of the Racing Post, purely because of the calibre of opposition that he will be coming up against this year. We price it up: Hurricane Fly 11-4, the new one 3-1, My Tent or Yours 4-1, Our Connor 9-2, Annie Power at 8s, Jeski at 10s, Underso 14s, and Melodic Rendezvous 25s, 66s or bigger the rest. I mean, all very, very, very high class horses. No guarantees that all of those will go to post, of course. But I mean, purely the first four in the market there: Hurricane Fly, the new one, My Tent or Yours, and Our Connor. You'd expect the front three to come from those three. Yes. Those four, sorry.
You're right, Alex. It's a tremendously high-class race this year. And, you know, on what has happened, you couldn't expect Melodic Rendezvous actually to beat those first four.
But a grand horse in his own right. And
yeah.
Deserves a chance, put it that way.
Yes, and if 25-1 is, you know, perfectly sound each way chance, yeah. And if the ground was to be heavy, then, you know, he would certainly have an advantage.
Yeah, wouldn't be a hindrance. So, okay, next up, which festival race ought to be the target for Ntompour 2, David Pipe's horse, who, of course, impressive at Ascot, not really sure what he beat, but cost the about as much as a small country, John, when David Pipe purchased the horse. Yet to fully justify that price tag, but certainly signs that he was going the right way at Ascot at the weekend. And which race would you be aiming him at?
Yeah, I think the Pipes have been, you know, pretty wary with this horse, W-A-R-Y, to check what they think is the correct distance. On Ascot running, it would seem that he will certainly stay 2.5 miles well. I think the obvious choice is the Neptune, quite frankly. There's not a great deal else, and I would go for the Neptune.
Okay, yeah, I'd agree with you there. Remains to be seen whether or not the horse has a chance of winning the race. Obviously, on the that run at Ascot was impressive, and priced at 16s for the Neptune at the time of recording, which is potentially a bit of value. Of course, the Pipes do have Red Sherlock already in there. The betting, as things stand, 3-1 for Fugine, 6-1 Red Sherlock, 8's the Tullow Tank, 10's for Briarhill and Captain Cutter, 12's for Votor, 14s for King's Palace, Rathvinden and Royal Boy, and 16s for Apache Stronghold, Deputy Dan and the aforementioned Ntompeur 2. So, an interesting race. But if he does go to the Neptune, no easy task. But again, another one that has earned his place, hasn't he, in that kind of race?
Yes, he has, Alex. You know, I'm just reflecting on my sort of fairly short answer that it had to be the Neptune. And there is some pretty serious opposition, but particularly horses like the Tullow Tank, who was thought to be going for the Supreme Novices, does in fact go for the Neptune. And I've also been a great follower of Red Sherlock, so the pipes would then be running perhaps two against themselves, which I don't think is a good idea at the festival, and I fancy David Pipe might go against that. So although I stick with the Neptune, it wouldn't surprise me if he went for one of the short races.
Okay. Next question. Who ran the best Grand National trial over the weekend, John?
Well, no question about that. It was T for Three.
Has to be, doesn't it?
It has to be, doesn't it, Alex? I thought it was a very impressive run, T for Three at Ascot. And, you know, this horse ran extremely well in the Grand National last year, just weakened in the closing stages, but clearly showed that the fences held no terror. And he looks a much better placed for this year's renewal. He had a really hard race in the Welsh National last season. Very strongly fancied for that race. Just got done by Mon Beg Dude, who, of course, is extremely well fancied for the Grand National this year round. But as a result of that, I think, you know, he had to be given quite serious time to recover. He might not have been absolutely spot on for Aintree. I think he will be now. The other thing which interests me a great deal about T for Three's performance is that, of course, he is trained by Rebecca Curtis, who for quite a while has been seriously out of form. There was a hint that things were turning the corner when At Fisher's Cross ran well in the Cleve Hurdle and was only just beaten. The performance of Rebecca Curtis's horses over the weekend, particularly T for Three, suggests that they're definitely on the mend. Nicely placed for the National. I thought it was a very encouraging trial.
Okay. The 12-1 now, T for Three, for the Grand National. Bookmakers reacting, of course, with that impressive performance. And then 16s, Mon Beg Dude, Tidal Bay. 20s, God's Me Judge and Triolo Delenn. 25s are bigger the rest. So, you know, the thing is, though, you'd go, would you want to be back on a horse now at 12-1 for the National? Possibly not. You'd rather wait until the day. But at the same time, you can't knock T for Three's form. Everything's in place for T for Three to run a big race, and 12-1 may seem like decent value on the day if it's going off 7-1, 8-1.
I don't think it's a bad price at all. I'm not a great anti-post backer myself, Alex, but I really do think on Ascot running that 12-1 for T for Three is a pretty sound price. And, you know, Rebecca Curtis and Connections, they'll turn themselves over backwards to make certain this horse does get to Aintree. And on last year's running, I think 12-1's a perfectly fair price.
Really did jump well as well in the main at Ascot, and obviously, we know that the horse stays and has already had the spin over the National fences, so everything in place for a big run there for T for Three. Next question, the penultimate question on this week's Monday Jury. How do you rate Dungweeb's chances of Cheltenham Festival Handicap glory?
Well, we've got to wait, haven't we? It's a waiting game, has to be. I thought Dungweeb would win the race in Ireland over the weekend on Sunday. I was very keen on him. I thought 11-4 was a fair price. It strikes me that Philip Fenton's horses are, at this moment, where we're speaking, in tremendous form. Obviously, last instalment the previous week, and Dungweeb had run, to me, a very promising race first time back when finishing third. I had a feeling that Zaidpour would turn a little bit sour. Doesn't seem to very much like racing after Christmas. However, Dungweeb was excellent, and he's 11 years old. But, of course, he's had a very, very light racing campaign during his career. But everything depends on what the handicapper gives him. I should think it'll be quite a serious mark, and Connections could well decide that they would miss the festival and perhaps go to something else. I would imagine Punchestown would be high on the list.
Dungweeb certainly a horse for me. I had in what was it, 2010 or 11 at Cheltenham?
It was 4 years ago.
Yes. My what was then my biggest ever bet on Dungreeb. And it's the only time I've been to Cheltenham, and it soured the day somewhat.
Yes, it would have done.
That he couldn't get up. But no, certainly a great horse, and good to see that he has bounced back. Be interesting to see how he fares at Cheltenham if he ends up going there.
Yes, it is. It's going to be very interesting to see. Funnily enough, Alex, I was sitting in the studio on that day for the first race of the festival, and I fielded against Dungeeb. I just had that awful feeling that something would happen which would prevent, in quotes, the good thing, close quotes, from actually winning. And Brian O'Connell was riding. A lot of people had suggested that perhaps he should be replaced. And after the race, no doubt you were thinking, I wish he had been replaced. But, you know, he's done very well since, and he's ridden Dungeeb, I think I'm right in saying, in every race he has actually run. And certainly he's had an excellent fortnight, Brian O'Connell. And let's hope he and Dungeeb do go on to greater things.
Absolutely. Final question then on the Monday jury. Give us another performance that caught your eye over the weekend, John.
Oh, well, I've got to go for the Border Horse, who I see is actually written up in the Racing Post on Monday. See you at midnight. Sandy Thompson trains See You at Midnight. He trains not far from Berwick-on-Tweed. His father was chairman at Kelso for many, many years. He's had a permit, and he's more recently trained under rules for several seasons without doing anything particularly outstanding. But this season, this winter, his horses have been running out of their skins. He says it's something to do with the fact that they have renovated some really old stables that the family had used right back in the early 1900s and had been virtually left alone. But he always thought they would be, you know, excellent stables for his horses. He's had them refurbished and renovated, and since then the horses have seemed to have improved immensely. See You at Midnight was a really good winner at Musselburgh of a valuable handicap hurdle, and did even better at Haydock, and I think he's a horse that people should definitely have on their notebooks.
Yeah, definitely. Great performance from See You at Midnight at Haydock on Saturday. Lovely stuff, John. That's the Monday jury done and dusted. We'll look ahead now to some of Tuesday's action. We'll kick things off at Weatherby with the 2:15. A mare's novices handicap chase, 2 miles, 6 furlongs and a half, the Trip Class 4 contest. We've got 8 runners down to go to post. Let's hope that they all stay in. Interesting looking race this, John. Where shall we start?
Well, we might start with the one at the top, because that's going to be a very dangerous contender. This is Hidden Horizons, and it's trained, of course, by Stuart Crawford and ridden by his brother Stephen. And, you know, those of us who have spent time trying to find rivals to beat the Crawford horses at tracks like Ayr, Musselburgh and so on over the winter have been emptying money out of their wallets. And this horse could easily win Hidden Horizons, but... you know, I just thought that there might be one or two home horses who will give this Crawford Raider a hard race. Going down the list, we come to Tea Caddy. I'm not that keen on the mare, Tea Caddy. One at Fakenham, if I remember rightly. And, you know, it's fair, but I think it is vulnerable. A big question mark is Mrs. F. Have you ever backed Mrs. F, Alex?
I don't think I have, but... She's a nice enough horse. I remember used to be with Kate Walton, didn't she? Mm-hmm. Now with Phil Kirby, and racked up a nice sequence. But being pulled up last twice, I'd say probably just about in the handicapper's grip. That's probably the main reason for that. But what do you think she could bounce back here?
Well, I thought she could. That's why I said she's a question mark horse, really. Very impressive over handicap hurdles around about this time last year, as you point out, raised a sequence of quite interesting performances. And Philip Kirby's horse is in very good shape at the moment. Kyle James trains. It looks as though she is not making the transition to fences quite as easy as expected. affected, and I think probably watching briefs. So Mrs. F, interesting, but will it be today? We then have Chris Bealby. I like his horses at Wetherby, but Legendary Hop, a point-to-point winner, would appear to have just lost the plot on the last two outings. The Flaming Matron from the Alexander stable, Lucy Alexander, back at last with the winner after returning from breaking her jaw. This horse ran quite well, I thought, at Newcastle over hurdles, but she's got more to do. So, by process of elimination, we come to Fair Bramble. And I do think Fair Bramble's got a big chance in this race, Alex. I've always liked this mare, ever since I saw her run a Bangor, first time out in a bumper. Well, it was the first time I saw her run, and I think it was one of her very early runs. She's been brought on patiently, like Oliver Sherwood always does do. Leighton Aspel's in the saddle. I think that the ground will suit, and Fair Bramble is gradually taking to fences. I think she's got a big chance here. And remember, Oliver Sherwood sent Many Clouds to win here at Wetherby before going on to run at Ascot. So he likes the course. Fair Bramble for me.
Okay, then. Fair Bramble, the pick there in the 2.15. Next up is the 2.50. A handicap hurdle over 2 miles and six furlongs. 11 runners down to gut post. Really interesting race this, John. We've got 40 Crown in there, who won this race last year. Horses like Markham for Rose Dobbin, who is seeking the hat-trick. And then a really unexposed one down the bottom in the form of Stickleback. Where should we start here?
Well, we might start with 40 Crown. You know, he's obviously going to be a contender, and is not going to be my choice, but could easily go close to repeating last year's victory. Still near the top, we've got Micro Mission, not yet produced any form this season, really, to think of. But Chris Grant's horses, you know, suddenly coming into a bit of form. He had a treble at Musselburgh last Wednesday, did Chris Grant. And his team seemed to be on top of the form. You know yourself, Sue Smith, in excellent shape, the stable still. This is a very consistent performer. You've mentioned Markham from Rose Dobbin's stable. Craig Nickel riding, of course, and I think this horse may be owned by the Straight Line Construction Company, who retain both Wilson Rennick and Craig Nickel. And the Rose Dobbin horses are going much better, but I did think Alex Markham had a very hard race to win at Sedgefield last time out. So, again, almost by a process of elimination, we come down to two. I think the form horse has to be Stickleback, who you mentioned, and I believe you were at Wetherby when Stickleback ran last time.
Yeah, was indeed. 27th of December, finished just behind Brian Ellison's Adili. I'll be honest, I didn't back the horse that day, but I did think that he had, or she had, sorry, every chance, sort of in the closing stages. May have bumped into one. The form of that race is far from exceptional, you know, but it was a reasonably competitive race, and this one, I wouldn't say is a great deal more competitive. More importantly, she is racing off a really light weight tomorrow, and Joe Colliver rides as well, so he takes another five off, and getting, in the end, almost, well, two stone off some of these horses, or there or thereabouts. So that could make all the difference on ground that we know is going to be pretty testing.
Yes, I think she's a real player, Stickleback. And I put her up in the studio, in fact, on that day. And I thought she was going to win, Stickleback, coming to the last flight. But if I remember, hung rather badly towards the stands rails and just gave away a bit of ground on the run in. As you say, not a great race form-wise. I don't think any of the rivals have done anything spectacular. But Mickey Hammond has a good record here at Wetherby, and Stickleback is very lightly raised.
What about Grey Area, John? A horse that I think you napped last time at Ayr, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm biased here. So although I think Stickleback will go very well, and he could easily win, my choice is Grey Area. This is a very decent horse. It's owned and trained by the Davidson family, Tristram Davidson, who's the son of the Cumbrian farmer, and lives not all that far from Carlisle. He's a really good point-to-point rider, so he knows what he's on about when he prepares Grey Area. And this horse won well last spring at Newcastle, followed up at Kelso. After a break, reappeared at Perth in the summer, didn't run at all badly, finished third. Spent the rest of the time out of grass, came back again for a winter campaign, and had an awful fall first time at the very first flight of his reappearance race, and clattered over by a biggish field, and then reappeared at Ayr last time out. And I remember people in the studio here saying, well, will he recover? It was a nasty fog. Has he lost confidence? Actually, he jumped like a bird at Ayr, led the field for a long way, and I think then weakened in the straight and finished sixth in the end behind Chavoy. Being kind, one would say Grey Area probably needed that race, bearing in mind it was basically his first serious outing since Perth in the summer. If that is the case, he must have a big chance here, because he's a big, strong horse who stays the trip well, and he's also got Darrah Burke claiming £7 in the saddle. So although Stickleback's going to be hard to beat, I'm going to go with Grey Area.
Okay, Grey Area dropped £3 for that air run. That might make a... all the difference there. Certainly just maybe went a little too hard at Ayr from the front. I think maybe ridden with a little more restraint, you'll get a decent bit of value for your money, certainly, on Grey Area at Wetherby. That's the 250 contest. The final race that we're going to look at is the 405 from Southall, a selling stakes over 6 furlongs. 13 runners going to post. Well, called a seller this, John, but it could easily be a handicap. There's some pretty steady horses in there who like it at Southall. In fact, in race card order, we've got AlphaTauri, Fathom 5, Prince of Passion, Spitfire, Elusive Hawk, Greenhead High, Take the Lead, and Girl at the Sands. So how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the 13 runners have a course and distance success to their name, at least one. That really does leave it pretty wide open here, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I decided to go for this race at Southall. Alex, as I said about a week ago, you want to keep your horses in the lowest company and your wife in the best possible company. And there are 13 going here obeying that dictum. And as you point out, a lot of them love Southall. I thought AlphaTauri, despite the fact that he's at the top of the race, is definitely on top of the weight, rather, has definitely got a chance. Seems to be coming back to form. Loves Southall. Not a great follower of Fathom 5, but he does bounce up sometime. Prince of Passion for Derek Shaw, very consistent indeed. And I noticed Joe Fanning riding. Wouldn't surprise me to see that go very well. But for me, it's between Spitfire and Greenhead High. Greenhead High is a horse I like at Southall. And normally speaking, February time is very much Greenhead High's time. He's actually named by his owner after the secondary school where he went. That's why it's called Greenhead High. But he has been pretty disappointing so far this season. There was, though, just a hint that he was coming back to his own when fourth last time out, just behind Spitfire. Anna Hesketh takes £7 off, but is drawn wide at 13, very wide. So I'm going to go for Spitfire, who is really a model of consistency here. I first saw Spitfire win run in a two-year-old race at Warwick, where he was just beaten, I remember. He's been with John Jenkins ever since, and he has rewarded the trainer with a whole series of, admirable performances in not very high grade. And certainly his form recently at Southall has been excellent. Freddie Tyliski or Tyliki in the saddle, and I think Spitfire could go and win this race.
Okay, Spitfire actually won on debut, John, at Warwick.
I couldn't remember really one or second. It seemed an awful long time ago. It was a two-year-old race, wasn't it?
It was a maiden in 2007, so
yes.
Not bad memory there, John. What I will say, Spitfire and Greenhead High both drawn right on the outside, stall 12 and 13 respectively. But at Southall, that's not the worst thing, really, is it?
No, it could be a lot of bunching in this race, I think, too.
Because you certainly don't want to get stuck on the inside at Southall.
No, and both AlphaTauri and Fathom 5 for a couple will definitely go pretty quick. Mm. So I think, in a way, that a horse like Spitfire, drawn towards the outside, can come down the middle, a late burst under Freddie Tyliski, and take the prize.
Okay, could be a blessing blessing in disguise there. Spitfire the pick in the 4 or 5. Could you just run us through your three selections, the two at Wetherby and the one at Southall, please, John?
Yeah, in the 2.15 at Wetherby, we're going for Oliver Sherwood's mare, Fair Bramble. In the 2.50, admittedly a biased selection, I'm hoping Grey Area will win for Cumbria. And in the 4.05, fascinating seller at Southall, the choice is Spitfire.
Excellent stuff, John. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your Monday jury and picks for Tuesday. And enjoy all of Tuesday's action.
Thank you very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.